Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Cody Goff with a special sponsored podcast episode from Curiosity.com.
And I'm Ashley Hamer. This episode is sponsored by EMD Performance Materials, a business of Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany. And it's the third episode in a five-part series we're doing to help you learn about how science and technology are being applied to drive innovation and change the world. Today, you'll get a sneak peek at some super cool cutting-edge technology that's being worked on right now, from holograms and reflective displays to photonic quantum computing. You'll also learn about the surprisingly wide range of technology we need to develop to make driverless cars as safe and reliable as we want them to be.
We recorded this conversation live on the showroom floor at CES 2019, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And our guest is Owen Losman, the head of performance materials venture fund M Ventures. His unit looks for forward-thinking companies that make sense to partner with and invest in as they innovate and develop new technology. Basically, Owen's job is to figure out what's the next big thing and then help everyone work together to actually make that thing happen. Pretty cool stuff.
Also cool is that Owen has a strong background as a chemist. If it sounds like there's a lot of science going on at his organization, that's because there is. So having a background in a field like chemistry is pretty handy for this type of work, as you're about to hear.
We asked Owen about what kind of technologies they've invested in recently, and here's what he told us. Let's satisfy some curiosity.
So we've invested in companies from like holographic, you know, direct view holograms. So for example, this table would be projecting an image. We would be able to see a 3D image without wearing any glasses. We have a company which is making reflective displays for the educational market. So these are it's like a liquid crystal display, but you can use it outdoor. It has no backlight, so very, very low power. These are more like things that you can identify with. Mm-hmm. We also have a company which makes the material that goes into semiconductors for sub-7 nanometer nodes. So wow. This is like super techie, you know, yeah. Hardcore semiconductor. Very, very broad. We've done printable sensors for force touch, all sorts of different things like that. So we've got a very broad range of different technologies, all of which have got some strategic connection to the business, and all of which will be, you know, in CES in, you know, 2, 3, 4 years time, basically. So
we are nerds and we have a lot of nerds in our audience.
Yeah,
I love that example you gave about the 7 nanometer semiconductor. That's incredible. Can you name any other really specific things that, like, people will think, what is that even for, that come to mind where you're like, well, people won't really know what this is? But because I think that, you know, knowing the building blocks of what we're working with and some of that really tiny stuff really ignites people's curiosity.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some earlier companies that we're working with. I mean, you may have heard of things like graphene, you know, a new material, a very thin material which you can make. And really people are trying to apply this. So we're looking at companies which can apply this and create a use case which nobody else has done before.
I don't actually know graphene.
So it's like nanostructures,
yeah,
right?
It's basically a flat sheet of carbon, and you make it's a monolayer, so it's very, very thin.
One molecule.
And it has, one molecule thick. It's very, very interesting properties. But you need to be able to produce that in a fab. You can't just make it in your lab at university. You need to be able to scale it and manufacture it. So, you know, things like this, you know, we're looking at the leading edge of these technologies. Quantum computing, you may have heard of. So we're looking at, you know, what is it that you need to make a quantum computer? And there's lots of science and craziness involved in that.
A refrigerator, basically.
Freezer. At the moment, but maybe not. But if you use light, you see, if you use photons instead of electrons, then you can avoid these kind of problems. So there's some interesting areas like this that we were exploring. So
that's one of the coolest things I've heard all day.
Oh,
using
really?
The photons instead of the
photonic. It's quantum photonic computing.
Yeah, well, photons are interesting And you know, you need to like the semiconductor industry is based around, you know, movement of electrons and management of electrons within a device. There's nothing to say that you can't do that with optics, and people have been working on that for a long time, but it's never really hit the market. Telecoms use it a lot, things like this. And obviously you've heard of like 5G, that's been a big thing this week, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about 5G, but you know, 5G needs antenna, you need to receive the signal. So there's a lot of material innovation needed to bring these technologies to bear. You know, it's okay theoretically saying you can do this, this and this, but at some point you have to put some bits of stuff together to make that device, and that's where we're focused.
That's great. No, I love those answers, because again, it's like, it's so easy to read an article about a new product or a new technology or some science article, and it says, okay, here's all this development we made in this area, and here's this idea we had, and oh, here's the problem with it. But then when you say something like, oh, what if we use photons instead of electrons? Well, then the problem goes away, because the entire given goes away.
Yeah, but you create a whole stack of different problems, which is where the fun is, right? Because if it wasn't hard, it wouldn't be fun. So.
But that's chemistry, and that's science in general, right?
Yeah.
It takes a long time for all this stuff to happen. I mean, 10, 15...
Well, I mean, and I think that's part of the overall philosophy in performance materials. I mean, we use chemistry to create physics, right? That's really the fundamental crux of what we do. So this beautiful window you have behind you, I mean, there's chemistry in there, but we're managing light with that. And so we're really developing materials that help us to, you know, modulate light, modulate electricity, and that's really the core of what we do. So it's turning chemistry into physics.
Are all the scientists that work for you geniuses? Really geniuses?
I'm going to just check if any of them are around. No, of course they are. Yeah. All in their own special ways.
It's just the ability to for the big picture thinking.
Yeah.
It's really a unique thing.
Well, it's a kind of, you've got to go deep, and you've got to think about the big picture, but you've also got to think about the detail. I mean, there's a really, as I say, you know, I wouldn't say any of us are geniuses, but what we are is curious, and we want to like solve the problems, right? Whether that's a financial problem or a chemical problem or a manufacturing problem, you know, these are the things that get us out of bed in the morning and keep us excited. So, and when you've solved that problem, you know, it's fantastic, and you move on to the next one. So
it sounds like it. Yeah. Cool. Any other major projects or ventures or anything you want to touch on before we can wrap up?
I can't really talk about all the things we've got in the pipeline, but yeah, there's some really exciting things coming next year. We've got some really interesting companies we're looking at, you know, especially in the fields of like autonomous driving, you know, trying to really get the cost of these like sensors into manageable numbers. So, you know, for example, LiDAR, infrared imaging, these are all like really kind of expensive technology at the moment. So trying to find technologies which enable these to be commoditized ultimately, but brought into the affordable range that people can really build a car with like sensors all around instead of this big spinny thing on the roof, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, the big spinning camera. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly right. So, you know, you're not really, they're proving the concept of these different technologies, but there's still a lot of work to do to develop the individual components down to a level which can be integrated into, commercial products. So.
Autonomous vehicles, also known as driverless cars, could open up a whole new world of possibilities. Imagine a future where there's less congestion, less pollution, fewer accidents, and more efficient, productive travel. In this future, there's no driver fatigue. Driving will be safer, more accessible to everyone, more energy efficient, and more fun. You can sit back and relax with your legs stretched out and the wind blowing on your face, sipping on a cup of coffee and enjoying the beautiful morning while you're driven to your destination. That's how driverless cars are set to transform the driving experience. Whenever you need a ride, all you have to do is pull out your smart device and request a service. The vehicle will arrive instantly, drop you at your destination, then pull out to pick up someone else. So, what are those individual components Owen was talking about that we need to develop to make this future a reality? Well, fully autonomous driving vehicles need chips that serve as artificial brains to process information. They also need sensors, which act as eyes to see activity far ahead on their routes. Beyond all that, it's estimated that driverless cars will generate and consume about 40 terabytes of data for every 8 hours of driving. That's a lot of data. This will demand innovative chip designs based on new materials and production processes. Reliable and powerful modern microchips and sensors will help next-generation cars achieve higher performance, the ability to embed high-tech gadgets, smaller form factors, and better interconnectivity. Owen and others at EMD are already thinking about all of these components and more.
We've heard driverless cars mentioned a couple times, and I was thinking about that. I'm like, what? what materials do we need? Because we have cars, people are just developing AI. That's the big challenge, right?
But as I say, you have a lot of sensors. And, you know, for example, you've seen in the news, I mean, you only need one accident to create a lot of bad press.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be responsible for an injury. So, you know, if you have, you've got to be able to recognize objects, you've got to be able to do that fast. And you've got to be able to do it accurately, even when it's snowing, when it's raining, when it's dark. And you also need to be able to, like, coordinate all these different movements. You know, there's going to be a period where you have driverless cars and driver cars on the road at the same time. How do you manage these things? And it needs, you know, you need to go overkill on the sensors and then on the AI and things like that. So the AI is good, but it has to have input. You need to have something to feed it, and it needs to have an accurate picture of the world around it.
Right.
So the more different complementary technologies you can build in there into devices, the more secure and the more safe it is for everybody. So there's still a lot to do there.
Yeah, yeah, I got the chance to drive my father's Tesla months ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, it can recognize most of the cars on the road, and it even tells you kind of what shape they are. But yeah, it gets things wrong, still.
And that's okay when you're behind the wheel, but ultimately, when you're using your app to dial the car to take you from place to place, you don't want to be worried about that kind of thing. So there's still a lot of innovation in that space to do. Yeah.
The future of technology will require even more innovation than what Owen's referencing. Since he briefly touched on it, let's take artificial intelligence, for example. Specifically, the AI approach known as deep learning. It's advancing rapidly, and it's the next wave of highly disruptive technology that will have massive impact on our society and the way we live and work in the future. Deep learning can take huge amounts of data from a particular field and use it to make predictions and decisions with superhuman accuracy. The impact of artificial intelligence on healthcare will be life-changing. Take cancer, for example, which affects more than 18 million people worldwide. AI is already being used to diagnose, detect, and treat cancer with greater accuracy every day. And it doesn't stop with cancer. These new deep learning systems can detect and help treat other illnesses, such as early-stage heart disease, Alzheimer's and other types of dementia, and rare diseases and genetic disorders. Applications based on artificial intelligence rely on increasingly powerful, smaller, and more efficient processors. And at the core of it is a microchip. EMD's specialty chemicals and technical solutions are an important driver of digital technologies, and that includes AI systems. Many modern electronics applications would be unthinkable without the company's high-tech solutions in display, semiconductors, and surface solutions.
And even, you know, in the mobile space, I mean, you know, you see now that things are starting to plateau. You know, you can only make it so thin, the bezel, you can only make the notch in different places. You know, what's coming next in those things? You know, will it be, I mean, the weak link, you've got this huge bandwidth from 5G, you've got all of this computing power in the device, but you still interact with it with two thumbs, right? So, you know, surely the thing to think about is how do we try and improve that interface between us and the machines? And that's going to be a really big, interesting area in the future. So.
Sounds like it's already a really big, interesting idea.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you again. We were talking to Owen Lasman, head of Performance Materials Venture Fund, M Ventures.
Thank you very much.
This is fascinating stuff. We're going to keep an eye on everything you're up to. Well, as much of what you're up to as we can.
Oh, it's all on the website. It's all on our website.
All right.
Perfect. We'll get people there then.
Thanks
again.
Thanks for listening to this special episode of Curiosity Daily, sponsored by EMD Performance Materials, a business of Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany.
We'll be back next week with the fourth edition of our miniseries to help you learn about how science and technology are being applied to drive innovation and change the world.
In the meantime, join us again tomorrow for a regular edition of the award-winning Curiosity Daily to learn something new in just a few minutes. I'm Ashley Hamer.
And I'm Cody Goff.
Stay curious.
On the Westwood One Podcast Network.